Good evening, how you guys doing? Hey guys, because I know some of you guys, when we decided, when y'all know what we're preaching on tonight, if y'all were here last week, and so I praise God you're here. You know, that means maybe you're ready to listen a little bit, you know, because you knew what's coming, you decided to show up anyway. And so I praise God for you guys, okay? It's going to be more of a message tonight. It's going to be a little bit more focused. We're talking about husbands, and so, you know, I just trust the Spirit of God that he'll take a verse that is specifically pointed out for just the husbands, and he'll figure out a way to hit every one of y'all in here tonight. Because there's a lot of principles in here that we as men need to be looking at that everybody else does as well. We want to show you that daughters of the king thing, not to show what the body does, not to build up the servanthood of the body. We wanted to show ladies and little girls and mothers of little girls that they're special to God. Okay, and so you see some things like that, you know, there was a lot of preparation went into that. And sad to say, that was not a guy's idea. Because we don't think like that. See, we're always thinking about ourselves. And so that wasn't a guy's idea. It came from a girl. Okay, so that seems to be a common theme today. The girls think all the cool stuff that we wish we would have, you know. But I wanted you to look at, too, a couple of other things that I asked when they put the slides in there. I want you to see those guys with the towels on their hands. Okay? I want you to see that guy holding that sissy looking basket. Y'all saw that, didn't you? But see, there's guys out there tonight said, there ain't no way I would ever do that. You're who I'm going to talk to tonight. Because our wives, as husbands, if you're married and you'll say, there ain't no way I'd ever do that. You need to hold on tonight because God's word has a word for you, okay? Because here's the thing. Wives are precious to God, and we're going to find out later that we're equal. We're one flesh. We're the same. There's nothing superior about a guy over a woman. And so what we're going to look at, we're going to look in Ephesians 5. We're going to look at some different passages. But I just want to start out first with just reading the passage we're going to do tonight. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Let me pray. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that this word will go forth, Lord, that it's not something that just comes from me, Lord, although you know, I do have experience, Lord, with a wife, Lord, of good and bad, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, that anything that's said tonight, Lord, would just be something that would glorify you. Lord, I pray for women in here, Lord, tonight, Lord, that there'd be no spirit of comparison, Lord, if their husbands don't measure up. But we know what they're called to do, Lord. They're called to submit anyway. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, if you reveal some things in some hearts, I pray that no walls will go up. Lord, that we are open to hear from you, your word, Lord, in just some real life situations. And so, God, I ask for tonight that pride be broke down in this room by men. Lord, that they would realize that they're here for a reason. They're not just here to hear a message and walk away unchanged. Lord, I pray for salvation in this place tonight. Lord, because I know from experience, when you get saved, you change. Lord, and so I ask for salvation in this place tonight. I ask for the deception to be removed from men tonight. I ask that your word be clear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's passage in 1 Peter 3:7 is only one verse. I guess they figure that's all we can handle, guys. Just one verse. The girls get 4 or 5, you know. They say, well, it's simple enough. Keep it simple for us, okay? But if you allow it to, it can dramatically impact our marriages as well as impacting our culture. In the time that Peter's writing this, women are not considered culturally as important as men, and certainly not considered as equals. See, the women in that culture were not considered all that important. You know, the men were held all the status and stuff. But as we've already seen in this section on submission, that is God's chosen people. Peter is writing to people, God's chosen people. These are believers. These aren't fake believers. This ain't when you were a part of the church back then, you were a real believer. Okay, and so today, this church could be full of people playing a game. Could be full today because it's easy to do that sometimes. But he's talking to true believers. He says, God's chosen people, we're called to live a life of action that counters our culture. These new believers, as well as us today, were being asked to do things that did not make sense from a worldly perspective for the purpose of glorifying God. We found out that we were asked things like to submit to authority, submit to masters even when they're not good, and the women even to non-believing husbands. Wives were told to win them over without words, but by their behavior. Without words, but by their behavior. So our actions always speak louder than our words to our spouse and the world. People can see what we believe by what we do. Okay? And so, guys, as we look at some of these tonight, some things tonight, realize this time to quit talking. Okay? It's time to show some action from this faith that we have, okay? Because nothing's really ever going to change unless you have a heart change. Okay, your actions are never going to change unless you have a heart change. So tonight I'm going to ask husbands and future husbands to allow God's word to challenge you to action that may counter cultural and even against what you think is manhood. Because we know the women there to submit to us, but our role as a husband and this act of submission is to submit our lives. See, they have to submit to some knucklehead guys. But the word tells us that we have to submit our lives. And you say, well, where does it say that? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 5, okay? We just read it. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 28, this is another passage that speaks exactly what 1 Peter 3, 7 is talking about as well. But it gives us some tangible things. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Means we're supposed to submit our lives just as Christ loved the church. Christ gave his life for the church, okay? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. See, it's a sacrificial love, but it's also a love that wants to help our wives. I mean, there's some action involved. We need to be the spiritual leader in our home, you know? And these are, I'm going to just tell you guys, I have to stick to this a little bit tonight because it's going to be real easy for me to just go off and try to teach you everything I know what men are all messed up about. But we don't have all night, you know. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in men's ministry. There's a passion in me that wants to see men of God more than anything else in the world. Because I know when men change, the culture's going to change. You know, I know when men change that our church is going to look different. But, man, I got to stick with this because I'm going to go crazy. Because this is so important, and we've been playing around too long, all right? But he gave himself up for it. This is Christ's example for us. So don't, as we look at some of these things, realize this is the word of God. Cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, just in case you couldn't figure out what he's trying to say with the example that Christ has given us, he's given us a worldly example. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Man, we know how to do that. We know how to love our own bodies. We know how to feed it when it's hungry. We know how to, sometimes we don't know how to clean it so good, but we don't know how to dress. Got to have help there. You know, I do. Some of you guys are pretty, y'all pretty chic looking. I got to have help from my wife, but... I gotta stay focused. He who loves his wife loves himself, okay? After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. It's our job to lead and nurture and care for our wives, spiritually and physically. See, man, if you're a guy who won't work, the Bible says you're worse than an unbeliever. If you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. Because we're supposed to provide for them physically and spiritually. We need to quit living in the sin of our earthly father, Adam, who was passive at the most critical time. See, most people think that the serpent came and he tempted Eve. And Eve found Adam and tempted Adam. Genesis 3:6 says that Adam was right there. Then the most critical time when Eve needed him the most, Adam got passive. He bailed out. He was non-existent. So Eve took the lead. Man. We got to make sure that we protect our wives from the serpent, you know? Because, guys, we're the ones that got to step in and say, wait a minute, you know? And that's what I see. It seems like when guys fail, they either do it very, you know, they're either going to be passive or they're going to be extra aggressive, you know? And so those are, we got to really be careful how we deal with those things. I told you I'm going to get lost. It's through the institution of marriage that we have the opportunity to show a watching world how powerful our God is. And the reason that I say that is because a lot of us, we get married and we think, okay, it's going to be bed of roses. I've been to a lot of, I'm a man, so I'm able to stand up here and talk to you guys. I've been to so many marriage little seminars and stuff with my wife a long time ago that I've heard almost everything. One of the things the guy said, he said, opposites attract, but then they attack. See, that's what happens. The same thing that draws you to a man years later is the things you just can't stand about him, you know? But it's during those times when you find out how good God is. It's because marriage isn't always going to be real bed of roses. There's going to be times, okay? So you might as well get ready for it. That's why Satan attacks so relentlessly. See, he knows how to mess us up. If he can destroy the family, he can destroy the culture. See, so that's why he goes for us guys, because we're easy marks. We're like them bass. We keep hitting the same lure over and over and over, you know? I don't understand it. Shiny, we go for it, you know? We're pretty simple. Ladies, we're easy to train if you'll just be a little slick. Don't. By your actions and your behavior. Don't tell us what to do. We ain't going to do it. We're going to do just the opposite, actually. You know, most of the time, we're kind of hard-headed. That wasn't even in here. That's true. If he can destroy the family, he can destroy the culture. I would say that he's doing a good job in our world today. So I ask you, men, as God asked in Genesis 3:9 to Adam after he had sinned, where are you? See, when Adam sinned, he dropped the ball. God didn't blame Eve. He went looking. Adam was hiding, and God said, Adam, where are you? And I'm going to say the same thing. Men, where are you? I mean, we look in our churches. You know, we've got quite a few men here, and I praise God for that. But I'm going to tell you, traditionally, well, there ain't no men in the churches. You know, Butch talked about people serving in the schools. Lots of women. No men. I'm saying, men, where are you? What are we doing? How come we're letting women? I mean, we're competitive things, man. How come we're letting the women beat us at church, at our Christianity? How come we're, I mean, you guys are as competitive as anybody. How in the world are y'all letting the women win? I don't know why we let them win. Men need to quit running and hiding from God and assume the role he has for us. So tonight we're going to be talking about marriage, and it's going to be hard because it hits close to home. We're going to talk about to the husbands. Now, my desire for every man here is to challenge you and encourage you with God's word to be the man of God he has called you to be. This can only happen if you do it because you desire to please God. Otherwise, any victory will be temporary at best. And I know I'm reading a lot, guys, because I'm just telling y'all, there's something in my heart that really wants to get loose, and I don't know how to let it loose. I love you guys too much to just let us just continue to live like we live. And if, even if my words don't come out tonight, I want you to hear my heart, okay? Because I give you God's word, and you're either going to reject it or you're not. Are you going to take it? But then you might be saying, well, Alan, but you don't know my wife. You know, you don't know my wife. I want you to know Christ does know your wife. Okay? So y'all turn over to Hebrews 4:15-16. Because if we're going to trust God with his word, sometimes we just feel like that, man, he just don't understand. He don't know what I'm going through. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you got a wrong perspective of God if you think he don't know what you're going through. And I think we're going to learn that here in Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." It's in this verse that we find out that Jesus knows everything that we're going through. He was tempted in every way, yet he didn't sin. But that gives us the confidence to go to this throne of grace, because this grace that we're talking about, this practical, sensible, this grace that we're talking about, this practical grace is there for us to be able to learn how to love our wives. And I think that's there for us. And the reason I give you these verses is because I wanted us to get rid of all the excuses. You can't say you don't understand my wife. But I'm not going to leave you just hanging there tonight, because I know you need some help. So we've got some tangible things that we're going to look at, but we're going to go on over to 1 Peter 3:7. We're going to start with the verses tonight. I'm going to give you some tangible things to look at here in a little bit, because I know you guys, y'all are going to need some help. It says 1 Peter 3:7, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives." We could pretty much stop right there. And, you know, this is one verse. This is just a part of the one verse. We could preach the whole sermon on this verse right here, on just this part of the verse. Because it says, "Husbands, in the same way," and we learned last week that like Christ, in the same way, just like Christ, who endured, okay? And it's just like the slave, all right? Who, even when he had a bad master, still endured. Then we were wrong. Can I pray? Let me pray again. Sorry. Father, you know, Lord, that nerves aren't the thing here. Lord, I know there's some spiritual warfare here, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that, Lord, as I just seem to be all over the place, Lord, I pray that you would be glorified, Lord. I just ask, Lord, for clarity. Lord, this isn't fear, man. Lord, because I fear you way more than I fear any of these guys. Lord, I know that that you have a word for them. So, Lord, I pray that it'll come out. Amen. I just got to do that, because I'm going to tell you what, there's a battle going on in here right now. I mean, I haven't froze up yet. I just did, okay? I'm just telling you, there's something going on, guys. And that's what happens to us. We get out there and we don't know what we're doing. We just freeze up. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. That we can stop there, because men are generally selfish and inconsiderate of the actions, how they affect anybody. I mean, guys, we don't know how to consider nothing. Typically, you know, we just do what we want to. We become one flesh. See, that's what happens when we become married. We become one flesh. But then some of us, as men, we still continue to live like we're single. Then we become one flesh, and then we live like we're single. Without, like, our jobs and our hobbies and hanging out with the guys. I mean, guys, I think Joseph said it in our prayer time. Man, we're just like little boys. I mean, it seems like we don't ever seem to grow up. You know, and so we get married, we have this wife, and also we just don't even know what to do with her. So we give our time to our jobs and our hobbies. We give way more time to those than we do anything else. But see, when you spend all your time on your jobs and your hobbies and your buddies, I mean, if it's left unchecked, that could be dangerous, because that could be just as bad as adultery. Because a lot of people, a lot of people just don't take this thing serious. Guys, so we got to consider our wives. We need to learn. We got to get to know our wives and understand their needs. It's a lifelong process. Women, you need to help us in that, okay? Because we got to get to know you guys. We got, don't expect them to conform to us. And I'm just reading this, and I know, guys, this isn't something that's it's all that great for you guys, but I'm just telling you, I'm out there right now. So don't expect them to conform to you. Because marriage is not 50-50. I'm trying to get rid of some lies for you guys, because marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. I've learned that as long as I'm giving 100% to my wife and she's giving 100% to me, everything goes well. But that really comes first when I give 100% to God first, and then the rest of that comes natural, okay? But there's some useful tools for me that Dina told me about called the 5 love languages. As y'all noticed in there, Dina told me about them. Because she read this book about the 5 love languages, and I was just being Alan, okay? I just do my own thing. And so Dina comes up, and she says, I read this neat little book about the 5 love languages. You really ought to read it. That sounded kind of girly, so I said, no, I'm not going to read it. That was before. I'm getting better. But she told me about this book, and the basis of this book, and it's not about the book, okay? The basis of this book is the fact that everyone wants to be loved in a different way. Some of you like certain things. Some of you respond different in certain areas. And there's this thing called the emotional tank of women, of men. I think we all have them, okay? There's this thing called the emotional tank. And so sometimes some of the things that you do fill up your wife's emotional tank. All right, but sometimes the things that you do withdraw from their emotional tank, and so it's up to you to learn from your wife what those things are. Okay, and so we really need to focus on. I mean, these women that God has given us, they're precious, and so we need to learn. Hey, and the thing about it is, when you get married, you might as well learn how to live with her, because you can't get rid of her. All right, biblically, you can't get rid of her. I mean, there's no divorce. Okay. So she told me about this book, and you know, and I hate it that she had to tell me about it. I want to think of those things ahead, but I just don't, you know. And so she has learned, and over years, I mean, you know, this part about the, and I really think one of the things, the reason I got froze up about the jobs and the hobbies, because I think it's conviction on my part, because when we first got married, man, I used to play softball all the time, and I was sitting around one day, talking with my son, and I was telling him, we were reliving, and I was talking about all these places I went to play softball. And he said, where were we? And I'm like, ugh, y'all were probably at home with your mom, you know? And so that's what I'm saying, you know, and I know that's why the devil, he don't want y'all to know those kind of things, you know, because I really have, it's taken a long time for me to get to where I'm at. And I'm going to tell you what, it's taken an amazing woman who wants to grow in God to get that done as well, okay? And so I need her to become the man of God that I even am today. But so she helps me, you know, she realizes, and I think going to all those classes and all those women's classes, man, y'all keep going, girls, because y'all can teach us a lot of things. So she comes back and she tells me about this, these 5 love languages, all right? And so one of them is the words of affirmation. So I put them on y'all's insert tonight, and I want y'all, the guys, there's going to be some things in there that, probably some things that you can write down and take home with you and remember and use them, okay? So these are just some tangible things that you can do to show your wife that you really care for her. Mark Twain said, I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. See, these words of affirmation, this is verbal appreciation. Things like, you look great. You're the best, you know. I love it when you do whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay, what is it, whatever that is that you love, the verbal appreciation. But just like I said before, sometimes there really needs to be some action that goes along with that. And we're going to get into some of these other ones here in just a minute. All right. But see, there's something on the other side of that, which is verbal abuse. So you got the verbal appreciation that sometimes builds up, but sometimes, you know, you just don't know how. Guys, we can be very, very insensitive. And I remember, and these are some things, I tell you, I really think a lot of us deal with some stuff from our past. Where I grew up in our home, when I was young, everybody, the way that you got your attention and you got yourself heard is you were the loudest in the house, okay? So I grew up in that, you know, whoever was the loudest and the most aggressive, they're the one that got their way, Okay, that's how we grew up. Well, then I got married, and God gave me a woman that would cry. I didn't have to raise my voice. Man, if I raised my voice to her, she would just cry like a little baby. And I'm like, dang, what am I going to do to this woman? I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know nothing else, you know. So I had to learn. Like, wait a minute, I can't go along with her crying all the time. So I had to learn to appreciate her and realize what that does. See, because some of the things that we do, guys, they really do, they hurt our wives deeply. See, so when I would yell at her, it would be the same as me hitting her. Okay, it'd be the same as me abusing her, okay? So sometimes these words of affirmation, they need those, okay? They need encouragement in a difficult situation. And encouragement is words sometimes, okay? Sometimes I need to encourage you in words. But sometimes I can encourage her by being involved in that difficult situation. Guys, it's time for us to quit laying all the heavy stuff on our wives. Because we've had our moms, I don't know what kind of moms and stuff you have. Some of you guys, your moms just ruined you. Well, because y'all are still little boys. Y'all are expecting your wives to do every little bitty thing for you, you know? And guys, that's not what it's all about. We got to grow up and become men of God. Take the difficult situations on. They got to know that they're not alone. They got to know that they're not alone. And they want to know that they're a part of the team and important to you. This helps overcome insecurities and develops confidence. I mean, if you've got a wife and she's just an add-on to you to your life, and she's not your life, then you got a problem. She wants to be a part of the team. Second thing is quality time. That's another area that you can focus on as we begin to love our wives and consider our wives. Focusing all your energy on her. What that looks like is listening to her and not watching TV at the same time. Okay? She was telling me a story the other night, and this is a book she was all excited about. Well, no, I asked her. She wasn't all excited about it. I asked her, hey, how's about that book that, you know, I engaged. I said, how about that book you're reading? Tell me about it. So she started telling me about it, and I'm in my chair. And the whole time she's telling me, I didn't know it was so long. I'm loosening up now, all right? But she was telling me this stuff, and I just kept, my eyes just kept dozing off. And you know what? Years ago, there would have been a war over that, okay? And it didn't happen just once. I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry, babe. I'm really interested, you know? And she kept and really, honestly, I was interested, okay? I was interested. And she's looking at me, man, I did it again. I did it probably four times. I said, babe, I'm sorry. But, you know, now it's funny. We can laugh about it. But I'm going to tell you what, that happens in some of y'all's houses. It's a war. Because you've already said, hey, you don't care about me by dozing off. And I wasn't saying that at all. But see, my wife knows my heart because I've showed it to her in other ways, okay? So she gave me a little grace in that area, okay? She shortened the story, gave me the clip notes, you know, it was good. quality time is some quantity time, too. We need to have structured time that's just for her. Okay, there's got to be times that we say, this time is my wife's time. She's looking at me. She said, you don't do that. You don't do that. She'd never say that. That's something I'm working on. Because working and doing this and stuff, it just takes a lot of time. And I'm still really battling with, okay, our time and fighting for it. Because what happens is the time gets taken up. And so you got to fight for that time. And that's what I'm committed to do. So sometimes y'all call me and I say I can't go nowhere. It's because I'm fighting for that time with my wife, you know. And it's something I got to do. Physically doing things together. You know, that's another deal of quality time. Shopping, golfing, going to chick flicks. I did it. I went with her to the Nanny Diaries. I was the only dude in there. And she was proud. Isn't that right, babe? I was like a trophy. Yes. And all you guys say, that's lame. I'm going to tell you what, the benefits far outweigh your criticism. So deal with it, and I say try it, okay? And I got shopping and golfing. See, I'm going to tell you what, I get so fired up. Now, if I do things like that with her, she'll do things with me. She goes golfing with me, you know? And she goes hunting with me and stuff like that because this is a 100-100 thing. She wants to please me just like I want to please her. But it started with me, okay? If I never do those kind of things, it'll never work. Nothing fires me up more to see my wife throw a golf club. It's awesome. And to get all nervous when a deer walks out, you know? Because you know why that fires me up? Because she understands. I'm like, yes, you understand me. You know? As shallow and lame as that, you understand me. But see, that makes me love her even more. And see, we got to do things like that. I mean, I didn't cry at the Nanny Diaries, but I would have if I needed to, you know? I haven't learned how to fake that one yet, you know, so... I guess I figured if I couldn't impact you, I'll just go ahead and entertain you, right? But honestly, there's some real spiritual truth in here because it's what it's doing. It's dying and denying yourself, okay? And guys, we just don't do that very well. We just don't do that very well. Okay, receiving gifts is the next one. It's the easiest one to learn. Just buy them something, okay? But some of y'all, tightwads, that's hard. You know, if you're tight anyway, say like you got a tight husband or whatever it is, if you buy him something, any value from that's gone because all he cares about is what it costs. You know, so if you have a wife that's real frugal, buying her something might not be the thing to do. Okay, but she's wondering, okay, how are we going to pay the light bill? You know, but if you're a spendthrift, you know, that's the way you want to do. You want to receive gifts. But here's the thing. The amount of the gift doesn't matter, okay? So if you're a person that it has to be an expensive gift for you to get fired up, you've got a spiritual problem. And that ain't funny, that's real, okay? Because it's not the amount of the gift, it's the act of the gift. See, some people just like to know that you went out of your way. It's not so much what it costs. My wife, when I go into stores, that she knows that I normally would never go in to buy her something, whether it's $5 or whatever, if I do that. She likes stuff, you know, but she's not... That's not one of her main things, but all these work forever. You know, I would say you could work all these out. All right, acts of service is another one. Humble, simple chores around the house. Learn what things are important to your spouse. I heard a guy say one time that the sound of a vacuum cleaner was foreplay. Learn what happened, right? Do acts out of love, not obligation, all right? Acts that are out of character for you. Guys, I'm just telling you, just get over yourself and do some things that you don't want to do, but you know it's going to bless her socks off. I'm going to tell you what, the benefits are going to be really good. Sacrifice for your mate. It shows them that you value them enough to deny yourself. And it fills their emotional tank. And physical touch. That shows love. For guys, that's sex, normally. Not so much for women a lot of times, you know. But things like back massages, holding hands, hugs, and kisses. We need to learn what our wives like and don't like. Like whiskers. If they don't like whiskers, don't have whiskers. I mean, that sounds trivial, but I'm going to tell you what, that's a big deal. If they don't like whiskers, ask them, you know. Take a bath, you know. Don't be dirty and smelly. I mean, these are some tangible things. I mean, it's not in the Word of God, but there's some principles here, okay? Love them enough to do some things, even if you don't want to, okay? Because you value them and you honor them, just like you would your own body. And in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5, y'all don't have to turn there, but you can if you want to. We're told to not deny each other. Okay, it's talking about husband's body doesn't belong to him. The wife's body doesn't belong to her. And so that they're not to deny or they're not to deny each other, but by mutual consent. And then as a time for prayer. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:7. That wives, you're not supposed to deny, you know, terrorism, you know, holding out on them just to get back at them. That's not right. You know, that's not the right way to fight. And there's a verse in there that says you're not supposed to do that. Now I've just figured out how to get the guys to read the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 5. So these are some things. I mean, and one of the reasons that I thought that those were pretty applicable was because there's three main areas in contention in marriage normally. Communication, finances, and sex. That's what you hear. And so work on those. All these kind of take care of those. Those are just some tangible things. But out of all this, just be considerate to her. And treat them, and we're back in 1 Peter, and treat them with respect, honor, value, to receive with favor. Like fine china. Okay, that fine china, the reason that you don't put it in with the other glasses is because you don't want it to get messed up. You're gentle with it when you pull it out. You know, you take care of it because it's precious. It costs a lot, you know, whatever. You need to treat them with gentleness. And see, gentleness is sometimes misconstrued. It doesn't always mean that just because you're gentle doesn't mean that you don't correct your wife. You know, there is a way to correct your wife with gentleness. Because it is our job to correct and protect. Adam needed to step in and said, Eve, I got this one. Okay? There's times for gentleness. I mean, to some of you guys, gentleness may seem like a girly thing, you know, or unmanly. But it's an attribute of our Savior, Jesus. And it's a charge, Paul's charge to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:11. It says, but you, man of God, flee from all this. And he was talking about the love of money. All right. And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. See, we're supposed to get away from all that worldly stuff. And we're supposed to pursue the things of God, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. In Colossians 3:19, it tells us that husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Be gentle. Treat them with respect as something of worth. As the weaker partner. And weaker, that doesn't mean that she's weaker intellectually and spiritually. That's typically physically, okay? And that's an area that, guys, we don't need to abuse, you know, because we're talking about being gentle, but see, sometimes on the other side of that, guys, we get angry and we rule and we lead and we guide our wives through intimidation, you know, and that's never okay. Just treat them as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. See, that's the thing, we're equal on the grounds with God. I mean, because we're heirs, okay? In Galatians 3:28, it says there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Okay? So your wife is no lower than you. We're all one flesh. It says for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife and the two will become one flesh. So when you get married, in the eyes of God, you're one flesh. This worldly idea of disposable marriages is killing our culture, as well as the witness of our church. Men, if you're not ready for this kind of commitment, I mean, what we're talking about, I mean, some of you young guys, let me just tell you, if you're not ready for this kind of commitment, this kind of stuff, getting ready to fight, go through the wars, if you're not ready for this, please don't get married. Just get a pet, you know? You know, and some of you don't need a pet, you know, but because you don't even have that kind of commitment, you know. And so this is a serious thing because so many people go into marriage just to fill some kind of void that they think that they need. They need somebody at their side. I'm going to tell you what, if you're not spiritually and emotionally and ready to stick this thing out, you need to stay single. Okay? And ladies, if you can't find a guy that you can see all those attributes in him, you need to run. Fast as you can. That's right, Barney. Because selfishness, I mean, when we choose to live your life selfishly and not love, honor, and respect your wife, you're not only hurting the cause of Christ, you're hurting yourself. But selfishness is an intimacy killer with God. Selfishness is a big deal. Every one of us deal with it. Every one of us have to go, because we all want what we want. Okay, that's really what we want. But selfish ambition is a big deal. If selfishness is something that characterizes you, if you got to have your way all the time, and if everything is about you all the time, I want to warn you here tonight. You know, I want you to examine yourself. I mean, if you never give in, you know. But selfish ambition is listed as one of the acts of the sinful nature. All right, that's a big deal. It's acted along with idolatry, adultery, all these things. The selfish ambition is listed as one of the acts of the sinful nature in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. And what it says about those, and it says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. See, and it all comes down to that tonight, guys. Is that if you're not saved, you're not even going to try none of this. And that was my burden from the very beginning. And I think that's why the spiritual warfare is so heavy in here tonight. Because there's some of you guys out there that are lost as a goose. And I don't even know what that means. I've heard, you know, those little sayings, you know, you hear that don't make no sense, you know. But I don't want to make light of that. There's some of you guys out there right now that have been deceived. You think you're fine. You think that everything it's fine because you know some facts. You come to church every now and again. You know these facts about the Bible. But you've never changed. You've never given your heart to God. You've never said, God, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And this area of loving our wives is one of the hardest areas for us to do because it's, I mean, it shouldn't be. And it's not for me because I got an amazing wife. But some of you guys, man, we have got to get to where we quit living this selfish life. And I think if you can characterize your life as mainly selfish, you've got to ask yourself whether you're saved or not. I mean, because God takes your relationship with your wife very seriously. When you're out of fellowship with your wife, you're ultimately hindering your fellowship with God. And it's through suffering, even in your marriage, that you'll get to see God's grace poured out on you if you'll submit to His word and His ways. See, it's in those times of suffering in marriage that we get to see our God show up and show out, okay? And I know I could call some people up here right now, testimony saying, you know what, it got bad. Butch Smith being one of them. But the grace of God came in, changed me, changed her at the same time, and now we're a picture of Christ loving the church, okay? We're giving this world a picture of what it looks like for Christ to love the church. And so why do we do all this? At the very end of this passage, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Every one of us want to have fellowship with God, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, if you'll give yourself to your wife, lead her in living and studying God's word, and love and care for her just like you do your own body, and continue to feed and fill her with acts of love from your heart, not compulsion, I'll guarantee you that she will not have a problem submitting to you. And you'll see the power of prayer increase in your life. I guarantee you. That's a guarantee, guys. And who wouldn't want that? Why wouldn't you want that? Why do you settle for mediocre marriages that just show the world what everybody thinks about marriages? Why would you settle for that? I mean, I ask you tonight to consider doing whatever it takes to consider, honor, and love your wives. I can tell you from experience that nothing in this world compares to a godly wife and a godly marriage. I mean, it still blows me away that my wife wants to be around me, you know, all the time. It just amazes me, you know. I figured after 28 years, kind of wear off, you know. But she wants to be around me all the time. You know, and even though I struggled with this message, when I was struggling at home with it, she said, "What are you so worried about? You got this." You know? She's my biggest fan and she's my biggest cheerleader, even when I make the biggest mistakes, okay? And guys, we need that from our women. But I'm going to tell you what, that doesn't come from me being a knucklehead. I've give, she gives. And if you want an amazing wife like I have, you got to do it God's way. You got to quit being selfish. Because here's one thing I know. My wife sees me reading my Bible in the morning. You know? And I'm not doing this to glorify me. I'm just telling you some things that work. You know? She knows that if I make a decision that has something to do with the family, then more than likely I've prayed about it. You know? And I've asked her about it. And she also knows that if I mess it up, it ain't on her. The word says it's my problem. And so I've got a great submissive wife that makes it easy to do this. So I want to end tonight in just a prayer for you guys. And you know, tonight for you, it might be salvation that it takes to for you to commit yourself to your wife like that. Let me pray. Father, Lord, I just praise you for who you are, Lord. And I just, I don't understand why what happened tonight even happened. Lord, I know that there's confusion, Lord. I know that the devil does not want men to get this. I know, Lord, that there's men in this room right now, Lord, that are lost. So, Lord, I ask that in this time of preparation, Lord, and that where we can come and commit ourselves to you, Lord, that the pride that's in this room will just fall right now, Lord, and that men will come and get saved. Lord, that they'll recognize, even through a bunch of muddled words, through a preacher, Lord, that you still spoke a clear word to their heart. Lord, and there's something in their heart that lets them realize that there's a void going in there, whether they realize that they're selfish, or whatever it is, Lord, I know that there's some needs in this room tonight. And Lord, so I pray that for men tonight, Lord, I pray for women, Lord, I pray for marriages, Lord, I pray that as we have this time of invitation, Lord, that people will just come and, Lord, just ask you to heal them. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The prayer altars are going to be open, you know, and I'm going to be up here if you want to pray. But again, I just ask that you respond however God leads you.